FSN Radio.
It's all about what's next.
Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports.
The Financial Survival Network.
It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. Well, we're back to proprietary trading, it appears, insofar as the big banks are concerned. Look, Goldman Sachs, the revenue from trading surged 93%, and they made money. They made more money, and so are the others. I mean, it's kind of striking me that this is the Robin Hood economy, but the reverse Robin Hood. At least Robin Hood stole from the rich and gave to the poor. This Robin Hood steals from the poor and gives to the rich and the ultra rich. And we've seen this over and over again, but let's get another opinion on it. First, I want to get your view on the Robin Hood effect, the tail wagging the dog, all of these things. Why don't you email us, kl@kerrylutz.com, with your opinion. So John Grace is with us now. And John, so Goldman's profits up, all these banks, the country's going down the tubes. I don't think Goldman made all their money on PPP loans, and I don't think Citibank did, and I'm sure that JP Morgan didn't. What is the secret to them figuring out the guaranteed market return, which isn't supposed to exist anyway?
Guaranteed market return. Yeah, well, I think you're spot on. You know, let's take from the rich. That worked, that system, give to the poor. But no, this time, no, let's just make the rich richer. And that way we can always claim that it's the best economy ever, at least for us, the rich people. And yet, you know, looking at the reality, and this was January of 2019, I saw a report that 40% of Americans are 1 month away from being destitute. So you just can't have those two horses racing in opposite directions simultaneously. One's got to give. And at some point, the banks have been making all the money, and then the Federal Reserve, central banks around the world have done everything they can for liquidity and cheap money, which oftentimes, you know, maybe it's not a wise decision, but it's an easy decision to get more credit, which is what so many governments and countries companies, along with individuals, have been doing. At the same time, let's recognize that the Wall Street biggest banks added like $19 billion to their loan loss reserves over the first quarter. So clearly they see some cloudy skies on the horizon.
Yeah, and increased loan reserves. But look, when a bank writes off a loan, well, before they write off a loan, they take a reserve for bad debts. That's what businesses do. It's an accounting measure. So even though you haven't written those loans off, you're able to treat that as a cost, and it reduces your profit accordingly. Now on Wall Street, there's a game, and that is called everything but the kitchen sink. Mm-hmm. And that means when you're having a bad year, all right, the market already knows, it's already beat the crap out of your stock. And the key is blow out everything, write off everything but the kitchen sink. And in fact, some of them are probably writing off kitchen sinks too. And that way, next year, you got all the negatives out of the way. You played a little financial alchemy, and all of a sudden your balance sheet looks beautiful, pristine, and then you're making money. And what the banks have done is they've over-reserved in the past and then taken back those reserves in latter years and actually treat that as a profit because we didn't have to write it all off. Is that the case here, or are these legit write-offs?
Only time will tell. I mean, like I say, I think everybody's playing the same game. Let me take on as much debt, get away with it as long as I possibly can, and hopefully the carousel will just keep going because the music keeps playing. But, and the banks, $2 trillion surge in cash deposits just since the beginning of January, thanks to coronavirus, where people aren't spending and they've got this money.
And government.
In the bank, or they're investing
stimulus
in stocks, right? And in many cases on margin. I'm just saying there's just so many pieces to this puzzle. There's so much uncertainty. The foundation is just not intact. And it's been coming apart at the seams for quite some time. But I think the coronavirus being the disaster of epic proportion is going to reveal a lot of the people and the companies that have been out swimming naked.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what Warren Buffett said. Until the tide goes out, you don't really know who's swimming naked. And what we do know is that that there's a lot of games going on here and a lot of kleptocratic behavior at every level of government and society. And where this merry-go-round is going to leave us, well, you know, a merry-go-round, unless it comes off the tracks, basically leaves you exactly where you started, which in this case is not in a very good place.
No, that's absolutely correct. And I mean, what we're doing is everybody is putting as much duct tape on the problem as we possibly can, convinced that that will be the solution when we're not addressing the problem. And you know, at the end of the day, some of these things just need to break. It'll be painful, but it's kind of like winter, right? It's painful. Things die, but things get stronger in the winter, and spring always follows winter. So the Federal Reserve would have us believe they have all the keys to the kingdom to make the economy just play they want it to be, just not too hot, not too cold. And as I say, at the end of the day, the economy is really a function of ordinary people, the behavior of ordinary people. You can manipulate that to some extent, but at some point, for example, one of the things that I find fascinating every time I reflect on it is that there are more people age 65 and older globally than there are 5 and younger. We have never been here before. Never. So when we say we just want everything to go back the way it was, the way it was is different than the way it used to be. And then I just looked at a study yesterday that shows that the number of births this year have, guess what, fallen off a cliff. And then you look at countries like Hungary where they're saying, look, well, if you have 3 kids, we'll give you an SUV, we'll give you a loan, we'll give you free money. So everybody's trying to play the game and manipulate things in such a way that it keeps things going. But at some point, there is breakage there and there is pain. And while that is uncomfortable, that's sometimes what we absolutely need to get to the other side of the equation.
I could not agree with you more, John. And the whole thing is, it's like, this is symptomatic of the baby boomers raising kids, because baby boomers were so narcissistic as a generation, and I'm one of them, I assume you are too. You never wanted your kid to feel any pain. Well, that wasn't my philosophy. That's why we created participation trophies. So even though you suck at soccer, you still get a trophy. So, you know, everybody's a winner, but not everybody's a winner. And all you do when you pamper and really overindulge your child is you put off for another day that they're going to find out that there's no Santa Claus. And it's a lot harder for a kid 25 learning there's no Santa Claus than a kid at 5, which is approximately when they should. And just as a little anecdote here, my brother is an interesting character. He figured out in first grade there wasn't a Santa Claus, and he went and told the whole class, and it precipitated a meltdown of epic proportions. The kids are all over the place crying. You know, they're like inconsolable, and the poor teacher is like, what am I supposed to do?
Oh, so,
you know, my mother gets the call, and I won't get into the rest of it, but it's quite amusing. And I never looked at my brother as a truth teller before, but somebody needs to tell these people that Santa Claus, you know, you find him in the shopping center at the mall if it hasn't closed down around Christmas time, sometime after Thanksgiving. But he's really not a real person. He's an actor, right?
Right. And by the way, more news, the cavalry is not coming, okay? So there's no good guy wearing a white hat who's just going to salvage you from your habits. And I see so much in the way we're all operating in fear of missing out. And I call it, you know, the greed gravy train, where we're all want to get more and more. We want to look like the Kardashians, except we're not rolling like the Kardashians, right? They roll. They are money machines. And the rest of us, like I say, if it is the case that, this is another one from Dr. Quincy Crosby at Prudential. She cites 54% of Americans don't have resources out of 30 days. So both of those studies seem to confirm the same facts. As long as we're making money, we're just doing okay. But there is no kind of storm, no kind of hurricane, no kind of firestorm, you know, whatever kind of travesty that could happen thanks to nature that we are prepared for, except in our minds, we're just going to ride it out and somebody's going to come and save us. It's just that at some point that all that music does stop and we have to get off the carousel.
Yeah, got to get off the carousel and face reality. You know, we got to leave the amusement park. And unfortunately, the only way to get through to exit the amusement park is through the House of Horrors. And it's horrible. I mean, really, forget about the stock market for a minute. I love it. I'm making money there. Wonderful. But the real economy is tells a far worse picture. And I was hoping we'd get reopened quickly, but now it's turned into this political thing. And all it does is hurt the people. But, you know, we're going to have to change the system at some point anyway, because debt at every level of society, unsustainable. And now it's more unsustainable. Although now the government will forgive the debt for PPP. I think we're getting to the point where we're going to have this massive jubilee all over the world. You know, there's a reason in the Bible every 50 years, 49 years, they have a grand jubilee, because human nature is to always mortgage the future in service of the present. And people have been doing this since time immemorial, because instant pleasures are always a more powerful lure than future failures, if you will, or future payments.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next.
Arcana Corporation is on the verge of bringing the world's highest grade silver mine into production. The Revenue Virginius mine in Colorado has proven improbable silver reserves grading nearly 37 ounces per ton silver, with an all-in sustaining production cost of only $8 per ounce of silver. The mine is fully permitted with infrastructure already in place, and the company has announced they plan to commence production in 2020. Achieving successful production usually results in a significant upward share price re-rating on the Lassonde curve. Arcana trades under the ticker AUN in Toronto and AUNFF in New York. To learn more, go to arcana.com. That's AURCANA.com.
The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Well, that's true. And, you know, if we look at some of the words we don't like, particularly Americans, math, we don't like the word budget. We hate the word recession. And my God, we don't even want to utter the word depression. Those are things that just happen. Like I say, it's kind of like winter. You want to look at it in a way that it's just kind of a natural occurrence, and there's little or nothing that you need to really do about it. But the good news in terms of the worst case scenario, which of course would be the Great Depression from 29 to 32, what we recognize is on a per capita basis, more Americans became millionaires than any other time in history. I find that incredibly good news, because what it suggests is there's always a bull market somewhere for those who are prepared, not with equity, prepared with cash. Cash is king. That's right. So, you know, the ones who had cash at the early parts of the Great Depression were able to find businesses. That's where GM came from, by the way. Yeah. And, you know, stocks and real estate. That was a fraction of the price it was just 30 months ago or 3 years ago, whatever the time frame might be. But you have to have, you know, some kind of appreciation for the worst that could happen. And maybe that's an environment where you build up your cash reserves to see prices come your way. And now you can take positions and catch the next wave, as opposed to, Carrie, my biggest really concern is looking at the Great Depression. Is it could happen again. Here's what I mean. You and I know that it probably took 20, 25 years for stocks to come back to even. And most people don't know, New York City, always the financial center of the world, took, from what I can find, about 4 decades.
Yes, correct.
All right. Yes. So, and then if you're an adult in the early 1900s, your average age of life expectancy was mid-50s. So that drives me, right? It's, wait a minute, if you were an adult, you had to be over 25 to have some money in the stock market, some money in some real estate somewhere. And those prices came back long after you were pushing up daisies. So the last thing I want people to do is to live with regret when they're looking at what the prices were, and then they're looking at what the prices are, and they don't see that the prices are going to get back to where they were in their lifetime, that would be pretty sad. And everybody, yes, wanted the V-shaped recovery as though, oh yeah, just wave a wand, we'll just go right back. I've never seen a V-shaped recovery, Kerry, but we have seen two L-shaped recoveries. The first one during the Depression, 25 years for stocks, 40 years for New York real estate. That's pretty much of an L for that period of time. The last one is Japan. We all knew in Japan, 88, 89, they were going to be number one in gross domestic product. We were fine with that, right? Particularly on the West Coast. And around, I think it was New Year's Eve, 1989, somehow the air came out of the balloon. And what was a 39,000 Nikkei 225 dropped to 10,000, and then 30 months dropped to 7,000. That's an 80% loss. A year later, guess what happened? Kind of like New York, real estate dropped 70%. Isn't that interesting? Now, yes. Here's the trick question. Which one has gotten back to even? And I try to ask people that question just that way. It's a trick question to try to cue them, because nobody knows the answer. To try to cue them, maybe the answer is D, none of the above. That is the correct answer. Yes. Last I looked, Nikkei 225 was around 22.4. I read an article dated 2017 that suggests that the Japanese real estate market would recover in 2021.
Yeah.
And COVID comes
think again.
Now. So it's still L-shaped. It's now 30 years later. Can you even begin to wrap your mind around this is what the price was for the house, and this is what the price was for Apple, for example, and now it's 30 years later, and I'm still here, and the price isn't back to where it was? That's unfathomable to try and wrap your mind around their reality. Wouldn't happen here, right?
No, it can't happen here, because we know that stocks always go up. Housing prices always go up, because even after the crash of 08 and 09, they're back up to record highs. So we know that everything happens for the best, and therefore just stay invested and the future be damned, because everything's going to work out okay. There was a play by Voltaire, Candide and Zadig, and Candide, you know, and it became like a cliche, kind of that Candide attitude of everything always happens for the better, doesn't it?
Right.
And the reality isn't quite so clean. Maybe it might happen for the better, but maybe for the better isn't what you think is for the better. Right. Maybe temporarily all the pain you're going to sustain and the suffering, you know, we can't even grasp this thing. John, that's the scary thing. And we look at China now.
Right.
China's having biblical floods.
Yeah.
Once in a 1,000-year flood. And that is, think of Houston during the hurricane, but about 100 times worse, because it's covering 70% of the country. And their dams are bursting, and Communist Party is on the decline. They're on the run. I mean, this is a global phenomenon of civil unrest and everything else. You know, there's that theory about the fourth turning. I don't necessarily believe it, but it sure looks like we're at the end of one system and we're heading into another. I don't know what that system is going to be, but I do know that any system, gold and silver, probably is a place where you want to be.
Well, funny you should mention that, because I just came across an article that talked about Leland Stanford.
Of course, yeah.
Okay.
Chinatown.
Rowing to his inauguration. Because of the great floods. And this was from a study, UCLA, just late last year, saying the West Coast should prepare for more fires and more floods. So what's happening in China? Maybe it's their turn in the ring right now. But yeah, this is, we're all breathing the same air. We're drinking the same water. We used to fly the same airplane. So it's just cyclical. Kind of like the sun in the Colosseum, right? Everybody's in the shade, everybody's in the sun. If you're there all day, we all take turns in the good news in the sun and the bad news in the shade.
Yeah, well, it looks like China, kind of like Icarus, they flew too close to the sun and the wings melted and they're crashing. And, you know, God, since for the past 25 years, they never had a recession there. Demand only went up. They might have had slowdowns and they lied about it, but that's the Chinese. But now they're part of the global depression here. And now the world's, I don't even want to get into all that, but the world has turned against China universally. They become overnight a pariah country. That is pretty remarkable. It's not in the news. Yes, it's in the news. Trump says this, Trump says that, but not the fact that the EU has turned against them and these countries in Africa that they ensnared in debt traps turning against them. South America, Belt and Road Initiative, that was going to be their entree to take over the world, dead in the water. 5G, Huawei, dead. And wow. You know, these trends, and we don't, you know, we're not even really in a position now, John, to really appreciate the impact on the global economy and the end of globalization. Well, I think we covered enough for one session. My head is spinning. I don't know about yours, but John, people want to find out more about you, read your work. Where should you go?
Our website would be where we would direct them, please. Why Be Poor? It's as simple as it sounds. Y-W-H-Y-B-E-E, poor, P-O-O-R.com.
All right. And more important now than ever, questions, comments for John, myself, KL at KerryLutz.com, Twitter feed at KerryLutz, Facebook page, Financial Survival Network, and make sure you sign up for a newsletter. John, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure, Kerry. See you next time.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.